The year was 1995. The World Wide Web had launched the previous year. I was in college at the time and busy with lots of stuff, but eventually curiosity got the best of me. I reached out to a good friend who was experienced with online stuff on what the web was and what I should be doing on it. I still remember his emailed response. It said, quote, "So, little Davey wants to surf." And he gave me a list of websites to check out on this new internet thing. Nearly 30 years later, I faced a similar situation, but from the other side. Friend of the show and my friend, That Sky Guy, recently reached out and said that he was interested in getting back to WoW. He remembers watching people play in his earlier years. He said he had dabbled a little bit in the Mists era. But now he's trying to find a way back into the game and start playing in a real sort of way. Ultimately, he was looking at all the aspects of this game, all the content creation around it, all of the websites supposedly offering help, all of it, and saying to me, how do I start playing World of Warcraft in 2024? My response was a long, long pause, followed up with, yeah, I'm going to need a few minutes for that. You have entered the Solo Queue, a monthly podcast about adventuring alone in the world of Warcraft. Thanks for joining me. My name is Dave Gagne. Welcome back to Solo Queue, episode 7, the April episode. Hopefully we get this in April episode. Kind of feels like the March episode, which almost got in March. But welcome back. Thank you for joining me. My name is Dave Gagne, and I'm here to talk about how to play the wonderful World of Warcraft on your own, by yourself, not in groups. What is there to do? What fun is there to do? And this month, boy, oh boy, there is so much I would love to get into this episode. I have honestly no idea how this is going to go. We have so much news, so many things going on in the world of Warcraft, just outside the world of Warcraft. It's a lot. If you paid any attention, you know that there are so many things to talk about, so many things coming, so many things going. As I record, you have like 14 more hours or so to finish up Plunderstorm. And frankly, by the time you get this episode, I think Plunderstorm will probably be over. So much news. And then I decided, yeah, let's take on a topic so large. In fact, I didn't even really think it was large. I knew it was going to be a lot. I knew it was a challenge. How to start playing the World of Warcraft in the year 2024. This game is going to celebrate its 20-year anniversary in, you know, before the year is over, before the calendar year is over. There's so much game. Where do you even start? And that essentially was the question posed to me by That Sky Guy. How do you start this game? And I started to think about, man, it is overwhelming. So we're going to talk about that in our main topic for today. But first, let's set the scene. Where are we? Looking around at these cobbled streets and buildings everywhere. We are in the Alliance capital of Stormwind, the human kingdom. Capital city where everything kind of happens, everything kind of starts, all the big people are here. Not to put any of the other allied or alliance races down, but Stormwind is kind of the heart of everything. And we're here at the Pig and Whistle Tavern. which I was kind of sad to realize the Pig and Whistle does not have its own music. I thought it would have tavern music, but here it is from the game. Just some Stormwind music playing, which pretty iconic if you're an Alliance player. There's no doubt that this takes you right back to the streets. Stormwind, walking around to trainers and vendors and doing all the things. But we have a lot to get to. And I want to start this show with kind of a new segment. As I was prepping for this show, I was realizing that there were so many things I said last month that were just, for lack of a better term, wrong. I got so many things wrong. So we're gonna have a new segment, at least for this month, hopefully not too often. It is called I Was Wrong.
You're just embarrassing yourself. You're doing it wrong.
First off, last month, I said that I was celebrating 6 months of solo queue. I think I had mentioned, like, oh, yep, 6 months. This is episode 6. But I was wrong. I mistook episode 6 for month 6, forgetting that I had done a bonus episode, the interview with Hunter Gershom. Hoping to get another interview episode in probably in June. My schedule is way too tight before that, but I'm thinking June. I'm going to put some feelers out to some people, so we'll see. Get that process started. But yeah, I lied. This right here, right now, as you are hearing it, is 6 months of solo queue. So, hey, that's really exciting. I'm really excited about that. But before we get to be excited, I have to go back to being wrong. So, number 2. Last month, I told you about a couple different ways to get an underwater mount. That, you know, it's not always, but when they are handy, they are really handy. And we did some fishing, and, you know, I have not yet caught that mount yet through fishing. So, you know, there's that. I told you about how to get down to Vashir and to roll over a boss to get a 100% drop. Told you how I had to do that. I also admitted that I had not really looked at the Plunderstorm rewards. Well, I was wrong. As it turns out, one easy way, man, well, I guess it depends on how you think of things, but one easy way to acquire an underwater mount this past month was to just play Plunderstorm. If you can reach renowned level 10 in Plunderstorm, your reward is a mount, and it is the Silver Tide Stallion, which is an underwater mount. So, yeah, you didn't have to go fishing in Northrend infinitely long, hoping to pull up a turtle. Nope. You could go play some Plunderstorm, pull in the Silver Tide Stallion, and easy peasy, lots of Plunderstorming, and you've got your underwater mount. And speaking of Plunderstorm, last month, I was sitting at level 4, wondering why this game mode even existed. Well, I was wrong. I am now at Renown 40. I have maxed out all the rewards. I don't know what happened. I was not, as I said last month, not looking for a Fortnite game in my Warcraft. I did not want to mix that peanut butter with the chocolate, but I found a groove. And, you know, by now I think a lot of people have explained this, and I think a lot of people played it this way. I'm not a PvP player. I thoroughly proved that in Plunderstorm. I got to rank 40. I didn't kill a single person. I definitely took a PvE approach to this. You know, one of the reasons I don't like PvP is I'm not very good at it. I'm not. I when bad things come and attack me in the game, I push a lot of buttons. I make things happen. I don't always know what I'm doing, but I push buttons and things die. Sometimes I die. When I play PvP, a lot of times the people on the other end actually know which buttons to push at which times to be very efficient at making me dead. So, you know, that's not necessarily fun. And this is no different. I started playing Plunder Blunder and I hated it. Those first four levels, by the time I got to recording the last episode, I could not stand it. I honestly did not think I was going to go any further. But I eventually did look up some rewards. And I thought, well, all right, I'll keep getting in there. And it occurred to me that the game for me, and I think for a lot of people, was not killing other players and, you know, running around and doing a different version of PvP. It really was, how much loot can I get sneaking around and not getting killed? How high can I rank up? I think for some people they were a little bit more efficient and maybe disciplined. If you listen to the experts and all the commentators and what have you, they would say that, hey, after the first like two or three minutes, the amount of plunder you're going to get is going to go down and you should stop, you know, stop, just get out, go into the storm, die, hop into the next round. And I did that once or twice, but that wasn't really my jam. I was trying to see how much I could get. And sometimes it was, hey, how far can I take this? And while I did finish Plunderstorm without killing a single person, I did get to level 40. I did get, I think, top three finishes. Third place, that's not bad for watching other people kill each other. So that was part of the challenge. Like, how much can I run around this world? How much can I dodge people? How efficient can I be? What can I grab? And that ended up being the game for me. It was a lot of fun. And it was frustrating at times. Yeah, every now and then you would run into somebody who, for no good reason, well, I shouldn't say that. They wanted to kill me, which I guess the good reason is it's a PvP mode, so fair play. But, you know, it was interesting. Because you could chat a little bit in the waiting room, and even during the game, I guess, but I don't think people did, but during that waiting room, you'd hear the people say, oh, please don't kill me, I just want to get my daily quest or whatever, and then you can. And it was this constant like tug of war between those people and the other people who were like, no, I'm here to kill you. I don't really care. I just want to play the game. And it was kind of fascinating. So, you know, that was the most fun I've had with PvP, because it was me against the environment. The other people running around weren't really people to me. It's not that they were NPCs or that they were not good at the game. They were just things for me to avoid. And if I hit them, okay, they were kind of like a boss I probably wasn't going to beat unless I could run away. So I made my own fun and I enjoyed it. And now I have, you know, fancy pirate gear to wear and a few mounts. I call it a success, a surprise success. So I was definitely wrong. More. I'm not done, sadly. In February, we're going back a little bit now. In February, I told you my role-playing server trick for streamlining your long, long grind to acquire the four Pandaria world bosses to acquire their mounts. Well, I was wrong. Actually, I wasn't wrong. I just didn't know what was coming. The best way to get the mounts from Nalak, Galleon, Undasta, and the coveted Shah of Anger is not to camp them out on multiple servers every 15 minutes, knocking them over with level 60s and 70s. Rinse and repeat. No. The way to do it, the best way to get those mounts is to play the heck out of the upcoming WoW Remix Mist of Pandaria mode. Save up your bronze currency and purchase those mounts and many, many other collectibles that you may have missed from the Mist of Pandaria expansion. We will talk about that in the news in a moment. I think that's everything. Oh my goodness. If you have heard something else I've buggered up on, then let me know. And, you know, reach out, social media, soloqwow at gmail or at the places of the media socially. I'll even let you push the, well, I was wrong button. How's that? And get you in here into the studio to do that. Well, while we're here in the Pig and Whistle, we should grab a drink. Let's see what we can do.
Interessant, a pint.
Choose wisely.
Finally, a tavern this month where I can actually get a drink, or many. We've been a little hit or miss on some of these Azerothian taverns and inns. I think maybe today a pint of Dwarven Stout to start, but in my heart, kind of a bourbon guy, so I'm going to have to follow that up with a jug of Badlands bourbon. And the rate April is going, jug may not be enough. We'll see. We may come back for more. This is also a good moment, since we're here, just to mention another podcast that I like to frequent every now and then, and that is the podcast version of the Pig and Whistle, Tales from Azeroth. Each episode, Gabriel, the host, gives the news way more briefly than I do, and then reads and comments on a couple posts from the WoW forums, usually kind of picking a topic or an area of the game, reading a couple forums, giving his, you know, usually very enlightened view of that topic, his opinions. Seems like off the cuff. Like, a lot of times he's reading those and just clearly digging in from a deep well of knowledge, especially about PvP. He's a big PvP player, so if that's of interest to you, Pig and Whistle, Tales from Azeroth. Get it where you get your podcasts. Maybe somewhere near this one. I don't know. His episodes are about 15 to 30 minutes each, depending. I think it's like once a week. It may even be a little bit more often. Just kind of shows up and I listen to it. 15 minutes. You know, some people are way more concise and efficient than I am, but that's okay. I think you know that by now on episode 7. Not, you've been warned. And to be completely honest, I have no idea how long this episode is going to go, so buckle in. All right, let's get to some news.
You bring news?
What news from the mainland?
Have you any news?
Boy, do we have news. Oh my goodness. It seems like every time I open up my launcher, every time I turn on Twitter, something new is going on, something new has been launched. This is crazy. All right, let's first do the roadmap. Let's check in with the roadmap really quick. And I promise I'm just going to bullet this. A couple bulleted things. Today, Plunderstorm ended a few hours ago as I now record this. Also launching today, as one door closes, another opens, Cataclysm pre-patch event. So if you are hopping into Cataclysm Classic, get in there. The pre-patch event started today with today's weekly reset. I can't wait to fire up Cataclysm Classic. I was not playing WoW then, so I'm looking forward, even though my classic tunes are all miserably underpowered, underleveled, way behind, losing interest in me as their owner or what have you. Also launching today in the retail world, the Northrend Cup. So the dragon racing races that have been popping up in various locations. Northrend Cup is the latest iteration on that. And I don't know, I haven't done any of these yet, but the The reward, the transmog for the racing suit looks pretty good. I may have to do that. I don't know if it's similar to the others or not, but I don't know. I might find some time once I get through some stuff, get out there to Northrend, fly around really, really fast. As you probably know, the alpha for The War Within is also out. In select hands, people are playing it. You can't swing a dead cat on Twitter without seeing something, hearing something about what's going on. Lots of people testing out features. Blizzard's plan is to roll out a new version each week, a new zone each week, so there'll be more content coming. You know, if you want to avoid spoilers, keep your head down, I guess. Try not to pay attention. It's interesting. I've got some thoughts on this. How do we avoid spoilers with so much mass communication, so many, you know, social networking things, and so many people testing alphas, posting all those images, posting stories, sometimes posting spoiler alerts? I don't know. I used to be somebody who I did not want any spoilers, and I honestly would shut down on things I followed and pay no attention, but that was in the past. I now follow a lot more, follow a lot more social media than I used to is around the WoW community, so it's really hard for me to miss any of that. That said, the things that I see spoiled either are so small, they're like neat details that I'm sure I'm going to forget and I'm going to find them again on my own, or they're big things that Blizzard has already told us is coming anyway. So what's the difference? I don't know. It's a pretty personal thing whether or not you want to know what's coming or not, if you want the full surprise or what have you. So you do you. You know, I'm going to try not to spoil too many things here. I'm not playing Alpha, so I have no idea. It's all secondhand stuff for me. Okay, the next big thing, bigger than Alpha, things that will get into your hands as well as mine on May 7th. Patch 10.2.7, the final content update of Dragonflight, gets released. And there is a boatload of stuff coming. Let me run through those features really quick, as if I can do anything really quickly. First off, Harbinger quests. This was promised on the timeline from way back in January when we got the new year roadmap. New quest lines that are going to set up the story for The War Within, moving into some different story areas. They mentioned that there's going to be some different racial themes coming. On the topic of racial themes, new heritage armor sets are coming for both the Draenei and the Trolls. The last of the kind of original races, I believe. I'm not going to pull up my list right now, but I think that tops off most of those original races. We may be there, which means everybody, because the allied races got their heritage armors as they rolled out. So I think we might be at the end. Ooh, I feel bad if I'm leaving one race out. I don't think I am, though. I think we're there. Next on the list for patch 10.2.7, new holiday updates are coming. They are, I guess, giving hints on the new holidays theme, and apparently announcing updates to the Midsummer Fire Festival. Hunter stables for their pets. That UI is getting an update, so hunters are getting some kind of quality of life improvements there. There's a few smaller things. Kul'tiran hair colors, there's some new ones. There's some small class changes, tuning changes coming, but not large-scale revamps. And save that for War Within, of course. A couple other little things in patch 10.2.7, you'll be able to purchase a new tabard called the Personal Tabard. And, you know, this is another little tiny thing that most people are not going to care about. But if you're a solo player, the way I read this when I read it, it felt like this was going to be kind of a personal, almost like a personal guild tabard that you can design yourself. And there you go. You've got your solo guild tabard. I'm going to call it a guild tabard, but maybe it's your warband tabard when we get to war bands in the war within, in a matter of months. But it's another little bit of attention to the solo players who aren't running around with a guild. And do people care about tabards? Most people know, maybe yes. But if that's your jam, there it is. And now you can do the design work yourself. Okay, last thing I'm going to mention in the patch, I'll leave one thing out for the moment. But last thing I mentioned was there was a clamor for more character slots. And I can tell you, as someone sitting on 59 characters right now and supposedly saving two slots open for a male and a female earthen, more character slots would be great. And we got really good news. And I'm going to read this quote from Kyvax, community manager, on April 23rd, 2024. 11:24 p.m. if you're keeping track. Quote, with the Darkheart patch, we will increase the maximum number of characters that can be created on a WoW account from 60 to 65, period, have fun, exclamation point. And boy, I totally was feeling that exclamation point. I was very excited. That I was hoping for 70, not going to lie, but 65 is good. Anybody else who played Plunderstorm want to go make a character of the character they ran through Plunderstorm? Because I do. I made a little gnome with white pigtails, and I don't know. I was like, huh, yeah, that's sad that she's going to go away. So now I want to go make a character, but I don't have room. Well, now I do, except WoW quietly walked that back. The maximum number of characters will not be expanded to 65. So I'm sorry if you stopped listening to the podcast about 2 seconds ago. They will not be expanding to 65, at least not yet. And they warned that if you need another character for something that I'll mention in a minute, you're going to have to clear a spot. So, yeah. Okay. That's the roadmap. I'm going to pause. There's one more thing coming, but I'm going to pause and we'll get back to just news. So back to the news. Blizzard announced that Warcraft and other Blizzard games will be returning to China. Blizzard has reforged an agreement with NetEase, and essentially it seems a lot like Microsoft helped make this deal come back. You remember a couple years ago, I believe it's 2022, when Blizzard China just shut down. The agreement ended, servers went dark, and if you were a player in China, you were done. You had no servers unless you got out of the country. And I know getting out of the Chinese internet is maybe not always easy, but that is coming back. Servers will be back up this summer. They're going to spin everything back up. Apparently, if you had characters on those servers, they will still be there, so there you go. Some things are coming back. Other things are going away. Even in light of all the recent layoff news, this is a big one. Beloved Christy Golden, author of WoW books and, you know, quest text and, you know, story beats and all sorts of stuff for apparently 23 years, I think I saw online. But Christy Golden announced that she has been laid off from Blizzard. I am saddened to hear that. As someone who really does like the story, and I'm not saying every bit is a hit, but Christy Golden has been kind of a pillar of the story development team for a very long time. I've enjoyed some of her books. I have not read all of them. I enjoy the story of Warcraft, and I think she's going to be greatly missed. Perhaps Blizzard feels it's too expensive to have a New York Times bestselling author on the staff. I really hope we don't find out that it's even more expensive to not have her on the staff. And I don't know. I don't know the details. I think she's been amazing for the game, and so I'm very sad to hear that news. And not that I know Christy at all, but I certainly wish her well, and I look forward to, I don't know, what other areas she gets into. Maybe she'll drag me into some new directions. Also laid off, the WoW Companion app. after a long run, sometimes with the auction house, sometimes without. Blizzard recently announced that they will no longer be supporting the companion app, so yeah, no more auction house in my pocket while at work, and I'm not able to play. That's kind of a bummer, but I suppose it is what it is, right? And one more big layoff was announced, and again, I'm not sure anyone's happy about this. There will be no BlizzCon in 2024. Yeah, in the year that is the 30th anniversary of the Warcraft IP and the 20th anniversary from the launch of World of Warcraft, we're not going to gather as a community in Anaheim and meet and enjoy all the fun that is BlizzCon. That's tough. I think a lot of people may have seen this coming. Microsoft is a little more pinchier with pennies, and I think everybody in this community knows that BlizzCon never made any money. It was definitely a loss leader that Blizzard put on for the fans to generate interest, excitement, hype. It was their hype machine for a lot of expansions, but that's not always a tangible dollar amount that you can put onto a spreadsheet. So, different boss, Microsoft, maybe looking at that saying, wow, that's a lot of money. Maybe they said, wow, Christy Golden, that's a lot of money. I don't know. They probably saw, wow, companion app, that's not a lot of money, but we still don't really need to spend it. So I think maybe, you know, maybe we're seeing some changes in direction, but this one seemed interesting. Even if you thought that, it almost feels like, okay, just do it for this year, 2024, and sure, after that, shut down BlizzCon, explore other avenues, find different ways of generating hype and community excitement. I'm open to that. You know, I don't have a huge dog in the fight. I've never been to BlizzCon. As much as I think the excitement would be fun to see, I don't love getting to giant crowds, especially post-COVID times. So, you know, I was probably not going to end up at a BlizzCon, but I always like to watch whatever was online. I don't know if we'll see those things in the same way now. So I'm not happy about that. I wish that was going to continue. On April 17th, Blizzard announced the War Within 20th Anniversary Collector's Edition. And I don't know about you, I've never bought a collector's edition. I know some people love to put them on the bookshelf, have them all, collect them all. In the, you know, hatful of expansions I've been buying, it always seemed like a lot of money. But I was wrong. No, I'm not wrong. You spend your money how you want to spend your money. But this is the first time I've kind of been tempted, I gotta say. You know, when you do the math, I always do the math of, okay, which edition do I want to buy? Do I want, I'm going to compare. Do I want this one, that one? Well, this one, I should save the money. But Heroic Edition at $69.99 for American dollars. But if you get the $89.99, it's $20 more, but you get a month of game time. So that's, you know, 13, 14, 15 bucks. So it's not as much. And so you're only paying like $6 more, really. So I keep doing that justification. And I think I usually kind of ended up at that Epic Edition anyway. And that's $89.99 this time. The Collector's Edition is $180 as listed on the Blizzard store. And essentially it is the Epic Edition with the Griffin Rider statue, which is pretty classic. It looks pretty cool. Not gonna lie, I'm not a big statue person, but I don't know. I kind of like that it's not just a major character. It's not Ragnaros. It's not Anduin. It's not Illidan. It's kind of, yep, it's your, you know, Griffin riding Storm Dwarf with a big hammer. That's pretty cool. Collector's pins, whatever. It has all the Epic Edition stuff, as I mentioned, but it also has the War Within hardcover art book. I know some of the podcasters I've listened to over the years love collecting the art books, and frankly, the art is phenomenal. And I don't know, I think this is the first time I might pull the trigger and go ahead and get that art book as well. I think that's the big draw. So I don't know, what are you buying? Which version have you already pre-ordered, or are you holding off? I'm kind of holding off for a little bit. Now with that collector's edition out there, I have a bigger decision to make. So if they threw in another month of game time, like that would push me over the edge. So Blizzard, if you're listening, no, couldn't quite say that with a straight face. Blizzard, are you listening to Solo Q? I really hope you are. Anyway, onward. Well, the final thing on my list of news items is also the final thing on the roadmap that I kind of skipped. As part of 10.2.7, we are getting another mystery of the roadmap solved, and that was, of course, the announcement of WoW Remix, Mist of Pandaria, and that was the placeholder that we saw as Time Running Pandemonium, which everyone saw the misspelling of Pandemonium. We knew pandas had to have something to do with it. And there it is. Time Running Pandemonium was revealed to be essentially a replay of the Mists of Pandaria expansion, but at an accelerated rate with new loot, new powers, account-wide rewards. This is going to be a fast leveling experience for brand new characters. You have to start a new character, which is why I'm not happy to hear that I lost those 5 slots that they wanted to give me just a couple weeks ago. I need those character slots because I want a new character and I want my little gnome from Plunderstorm. Well, maybe she'll have to go run around Mists of Pandaria. Anyway, all characters are going to start at level 10, and you can level all the way up to current level 70, but in Mists of Pandaria. Now, this is a separate instance of the game, a separate encapsulated version of the game. You are not going to be able to travel outside of Pandaria, or at least outside of Mists content. No auction house, limited to just the Mists of Pandaria world, but at the end of this limited time event, your characters will pop into retail. And so if you hop in level to 70, and at the end of that, you've got a level 70 max level character ready to go for the War Within. So I know some people like to kind of mass level and get everybody into place. This is sort of that, but you have to start from scratch. You can't pull a character in to the WoW Remix. You have to start them fresh. So the starting quests for Mists have been slightly altered to kind of fit this little time-running reality, but essentially everything is the same. You're going to be thrown in. Most of the things that people like about Mists of Pandaria will be there. One of the things I'm excited for, having, again, not played during the Mists era, is the scenarios. For years, I looked at this one list of dungeons and raids, that I put into like a spreadsheet so I could see it and kind of check things off as I get to them. And for years, I wondered, like, what the heck are these scenarios? I cannot find them in the game. I don't see a button. I don't see a tab. But I don't understand. I guess I didn't care enough to do a lot of research, but I just didn't know what those were. And this is what they are. These scenarios that I'm looking forward to hopping into. Those will be available. There's a lot of new transmog appearances and weapon appearances, things that have been updated. There is a feature that kind of feels similar to Season of Discovery on the classic side. You're going to be able to get gems and add certain gems to your gear, and those gems are going to add various stats and abilities. So similar to the runes that you find in Classic Season of Discovery, you're going to have these additional powers that are going to be available to you. The leveling experience rate, if I remember right, is well over 300%. Like, it's much faster than normal, so you're going to fly through levels. It's designed to be quick. It's designed to just run you through this, and you're going to be able to save up a currency. I believe it's bronze, where when you get gear that you don't need, you can sell it. Essentially, you can like scrap it, as we've used the scrapper in BFA. Scrap it, get a currency for that, and that currency is going to allow you to buy other things from Mists, including, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, those four big world boss mounts. So again, save your save leveling your crew of characters on an RP server. You can just hop in on May 14th when the remix launches, and it'll all be there for you. I'm really excited about this, and I got a couple thoughts on this before we kind of hop out of the news. It sort of hit me that Blizzard is taking versions of the game and kind of, I think I made up a word, I'm not sure if this is really a word, arcadification, as in like pushing them a little bit towards arcade games. And I don't mean that disparagingly. I just mean that WoW is a creaky old game, and it kind of does the same thing over and over, and it's, you know, kind of slow and as far as leveling goes, a little bit ponderous, and they've worked at it. They've chipped away at that feeling in the last few years, last few expansions to try and speed that up. But it's still, it doesn't have the best path for leveling. It doesn't really know what to do with 20 years of, or I should say at this point, like 18 years of past expansions. How do you run people meaningfully through them? Romy time doesn't really work. You know, you get through a third of a expansion, if that, and you're at max level. This is interesting to me. By taking some of that content, and so this first started with Season of Discovery, taking Season of Discovery, taking a classic expansion and jumpstarting it, speeding it up, adding, you know, faster leveling, adding, taking away some of the grind, making it more fun, you know, in a way. I mean, I guess fun is whatever you think it is, but if you speed that up, make it a little bit more exciting, you add powers that were not there the first time. So you are making changes. This is definitely not hashtag no changes, kind of the opposite. But I think kind of the opposite is a little bit genius, because you have this stable of fantastic content. A lot of it, you know, for all what you hear about various expansions, a lot of this content is great. And if you spice it up and speed it up, I don't know, I think it gets really good. So now Blizzard is using some of their old stuff to draw in, hopefully, people, or to offer people a different way to play. This is another version of that. So now I'm going to get to jump into Mists. I'm not going to pretend it's the Mists classic. It's not reliving the exact expansion, but it's going to fit into my time schedule. It is a limited time thing. We're going to go from May to August 19th, I believe, is the date that people have seen on the alpha calendar for when this closes. So you've got a number of months. Let's see, June, July, August. That's 3 months to get in there, play around, level some characters, do what you want, do as much as you want, get out, live in there for a while. Yeah, it's not going to be there forever. And there will be the people who say two things. One, I have FOMO. I'm missing out. I need to do this thing. I don't know. I'm not having a lot of sympathy for that. I understand it, but man, you don't have to do everything. You can choose. You have agency. The second thing, they'll say, well, it's limited time. It shouldn't be limited time. That you know, puts a time crunch on it. Well, again, maybe plan your time or don't do it. You don't have to do it. But I think there's something to this where you get in, they offer you a couple of months, you get out, and you know what happens when the remix goes away? We get to go play The War Within. So I'm not sure what the complaint would be of, oh man, they just ended Remix. I only had 3 months to get in there. I don't know. After three months, if you didn't get in, I'm not sure you were really ever planning to get in. So I think this is neat. I think this is a good thing. Similar to Plunderstorm, which was not in either WoW client, the classic or the retail, this is going to be outside of both of the games. It's not, and certainly closer to retail. It's using retail stats and the retail rules and universe and everything like that. But it's not, your characters aren't going to interact with your regular retail characters, but the reward connections at the end of it are real. Those all go into your retail account. Your retail character is going to see all that stuff. Similar to Plunderstorm, you got rewards. You know, you get transmog and mounts in both retail and a few mounts in the classic universe too. So connecting these games in different ways, that's, I think, pretty innovative. In a way, getting back to that idea of the limited time, I kind of appreciate that because, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, joking, my classic characters are literally just, what is this guy doing? He never visits, he never plays us, what's going on? And they're just kind of rotting on the vine. And yeah, I could go in and hop in, and I do, and that's fun. But it is another thing out there for good and for bad. I mean, it is good that I have that option. But a limited time event means I don't have that stable of new characters that I feel like, oh, well, do I need to play those? Do I not need to play those? What's going on? So I don't know. I mean, obviously you can see this any way you want to. I just think this seems like a good direction that Blizzard is going in. I guess for so many years, people have complained about the droughts and, oh, there's nothing to do. And now I think, I don't know, Season of Discovery is out there right now. Classic is out there still. If you are that and you want that, it is still there. Hardcore mode is still there. I still haven't gotten to it. That sounded fun. Let's see. Plunderstorm was, I think, a very successful event. And I think, again, I think a lot of people may have played it like I did. Like, yeah, PvP is not my jam, but I found a way to enjoy it enough, especially once the XP bonus went in and we were getting double XP. I would argue that double XP was controversial, a little too fast. 2x XP, I thought, went a little bit fast. I would go with like 1.75. I know that sounds nitpicky, but just saying. Anyway, not the point. There's a lot of versions of the game. There's a lot of things I can do. And I think I would rather have this overflowing bounty of innovative effort from Blizzard than to sit here and yell into the comments on the forums that this is boring and I'm tired of doing Siege of Orgrimmar or whatever you've done throughout the droughts, or even worse, drop your sub, leave. Maybe you come back, maybe you don't. I think Blizzard likes it more if you keep your sub up. And frankly, you know, we all benefit from that. If they're bringing in money, then they have the money to make better content. So that is a lot. That is the news. That is what we're looking for in the near future. That is a weird series of layoffs, but that is what we're doing in the world of Warcraft. Wait, why did that sound show up? Why is the stealth sound going off? Actually, I'm just kidding. I know, because I'm in charge of all of this. I'm gonna pull a stealth move right now. That's why the stealth sound came on. I'm gonna pull something a little bit sneaky. We are approaching an hour. We're not quite there, but we're approaching an hour, and we've only gotten through essentially the news. There's so much going on right now. And as I mentioned, I have a big, big topic coming. And you know what? I'm going to push it off a little bit. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make it next month. I'm going to make this an extra episode. And we're going to dive into that episode. We're going to skip news, we're going to skip all the stuff, and we're just going to get into that topic of what the heck to do as a new player. But at the risk of trying to create a 2-hour episode right now, we're going to, you know, regroup. We're going to pause. We're going to reassess. And I'm going to come back with that episode again, not for the May episode. This is going to be essentially an extra episode coming in the next week or so. Give me time to get everything together, to get all that recorded, and to get some good advice to my friend Skylar, who is right now saying, really? What the heck? Okay. Sorry, that Sky guy. Before I go, I do have a little bit of an update. If you remember last episode, I took you guys to a place in Azeroth, particularly in the Zone of Mulgore, particularly in the village of Bloodhoof, to meet our friend Ahab Wheathoof.
I miss my dog so much.
And I mentioned that quest line and the voiceovers and all the stuff was done as part of a Make-A-Wish wish for a young child struggling with cancer. And I wanted to give a little bit of a sad update on, I mentioned I had a friend of mine who was battling some very similar demons, and I did want to just say that, yeah, you know, my friend, since we last met here in Solo Queue, passed away. And in some ways, it was very unexpected. At least, it was very unexpected how soon that happened. I did not expect to be saying this the very next episode. In other ways, well, this was kind of the way it was going. And, you know, I only mention this because it's such cliche advice. You know, it is cliche advice, but it is really always true. It's just a reminder to treasure the moments in your life. Don't live like there's no tomorrow. That's a little bit reckless, but live in a way that really does treasure every moment. Don't wait for that unknown future perfect opportunity to get together with friends or to check in with distance friends. I know I do that all the time. There's a lot of people in my life that are far away. And, oh, well, yeah, if I had an hour to call them, or if I had this, or maybe if I'm traveling, or, you know what? Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Send a short message. Say hi. Let them know you're thinking of you. You know, I'm not saying you have to make an entire community, but reach out to the people that are special to you. Be a good person. Yeah, I miss my friend, someone who I saw occasionally, not as often as I would like. But yeah, I miss them very much. It's going to be weird. So I'm going to try and take this as a reminder just to slow down and just reach out and let people in my life know that I appreciate them and I'm thinking of them, even if I'm not spending hours and hours like we did when we're young or whatever it was. It's not all or nothing, and I'm definitely can be an all or nothing person, so I don't know if that has anything to do with being someone who's a solo person in the world or in the game or whatever, but I just wanted to share that with you. So hey, reach out to those people special in your life. I know my friend would want to add a couple of things. They would say to go for a run, or if you're not a runner, go for a run walk, or if you're not a run walker, go for a walk, but be sure you finish it off with some ice cream. And I think they would even let you skip straight to the ice cream if you wanted. My friend would approve of that. So, yeah, thanks, Ahab Wheathoof. Thanks, Ezra Chatterton, for reminding us and maybe bringing us back to what's important in life. I'm going to miss my friend, so sorry to end on a down note. It's really not a down note. I mean, it is, but it is the reminder of the rest of us to keep on going, keep on living, keep on being with the people that we are with, but also reach out to those people that get away from us, because, you know, life is complicated, right? Well, it looks like our time in the solo queue is up for this month. It's a little bit short. I know we're going to get in under an hour for the first time in a long time, and we are going to come back with how to start this game, how to play this game. I, frankly, don't need to get back into Azeroth for anything. I have grading I have to do for my real-life students. But that said, I do need to get into the Cataclysm pre-patch because I want to see what this Deathwing thing is all about. So I'm actually excited about that. All the music you hear is the work of the amazing people at Blizzard. You know, the ones that are still employed by Blizzard. Come on, Blizzard. / Microsoft. But to you, don't play muted. Let that sound ring loud. Come on. And of course, the music taking us out is the song Ogre by my real-life friends in the doom metal band Ogre. They are still celebrating their 25th year as a band. Check them out. Just Google up some Ogre metal. I don't know. On the YouTube, you're going to find some stuff. If you like metal music, man, get in there. I, of course, want to thank my wonderful wife. She's supportive as ever, even as I get a little bit busy here at the end of the school year. I want to thank all the other people who make this episode possible. Thank you to Podbean for hosting Solo Q. And if you want to support Solo Q, even in the smallest of ways, reach out to us on the Patreon at Solo Q. Wow. What a big thank you to my current patrons, Andrew, who I hope to meet someday, Righteous Bandy, who I know very well, and that Sky Guy, who I have just let down by not giving him advice on how to get into this big, big game, but hopefully having him over dinner recently helped out. You know, hey, something. Anyway, their support is helping get Solo Q off the ground as we celebrate 6 months, 6 actual months. I'm not wrong this time. So jump in, support. That'd be great. Really, the best support you could do would be to go to Apple or go to Spotify, put in a review, put in a little something nice about the show, put the 5-star things on there. Any little bit of support you might think is silly, but it would really help to expand our viewership, listenership. That would be a better word. We're not doing video. Oh my God. You kidding? All right. And if you really want to leave a rating on one of those services, I will find it. I will read it. I will share it with the rest of you. I would appreciate it. Fantastic. If you want to reach out to me, SoloQueuWow, SoloQueuEwow, @gmail.com, at the Twitter, a lot of Twitter, a little bit on Facebook, Instagram, kind of Threads, I guess, maybe. I don't know about Blue Sky. Come on, I haven't checked Blue Sky in a while. But if you have advice for new people let me know. I would love to work it into that upcoming episode. But for now, hey, good luck with figuring out which flavor of WoW you want to play. Classic, hardcore, self-discovery mode, whatever it is. Season of Discovery. I wonder if we can mash all of the versions in together. I'm going to work on that. No, I'm going to do my grading, and then I'm going to record another podcast. But Season 4, new Mythic Keys, all the new PvP. What else? What am I thinking? Hey, maybe you got into Alpha. Let us know if you get into Alpha. Soon we'll be in this. Soon we'll be in the War Within. Soon, there's so many things. There's too many things. It is a glut. It is a good glut, but it is a glut. All right, thanks Blizzard for that glut. Whatever you get into, we can talk about it next month in May when you're going to get two episodes. I'm going to find a way. We're going to talk how to get into WoW, but we're going to have a regular monthly episode. Holy cow. Thanks for your patience. I will see you out there. Something people always clamor for, more bag slots. More bag slots. Not what I meant. Never mind. I don't know why that's there.